The Garden by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 3. The Garden of Angst. The Drought. That night Simmy dreamed of her garden again, and of the rain. She walked the gravel paths in her dream, checking on all of her favorite flowers, and enjoyed the breeze that brought the scent of the water lilies from the pond. When she woke up the next morning, she knew, before she even opened her eyes, that her life had changed again. For one, she was indoors, and the mattress she was lying on was a lot more comfortable than the thistle stalk she was used to. Tears welled up in her eyes, behind the eyelid she kept defiantly shut. She didn't want to be in a world where Faye was gone. She didn't want to be in a world where all her art was gone. She kept her eyes closed and waited, stubbornly, for this world to go away. Nothing happened. "Aren't you going to wake up?" a voice addressed her, from very close by, a voice that Simmy recognized as Josepha's and whose sound brought up an instant bout of nausea. "Oh, God. I'm back here. Please don't let me be back here again." Her first thoughts sank into her heart, drowned in despair. "And what on earth is she talking about? Don't tell me she cares for me now." Simmy thought, as her revolt rose through the many layers of her psyche, ready to erupt at any instant. "I wonder what she wants. Just when I thought I had enough reasons to wish for death." She kept her eyes closed and waited. "Your breakfast is getting cold," the voice continued. Now Simmy was curious, because getting breakfast at all, not to mention having it cooked and served to her, was pure fantasy. She opened her eyes and the first thing she saw was Faye's snout, very close to her face. The rat had left its tiny box, lined with straw, which Simmy assumed served as his bed, to nuzzle curiously at her face and figure out why she wasn't awake yet. "Faye!" Simmy burst into tears of happiness and relief, and hugged the little rodent almost to the point of choking. "God didn't waste any brains on you, girl, that's for sure." Josepha mumbled under her breath, because the image of Simmy hugging the rat was too much for her to process. "Well, at least some things have stayed the same," Simmy thought, a little more encouraged. She put Faye down, to the rat's great relief, and started looking around to see what the universe had in store for her now. All around the room there were art pieces, hers, she assumed, hanging from the ceiling, lined up against the walls and covering every table and shelf surface. She didn't remember creating any of them, and they didn't look familiar, mostly because they were made of a material she didn't recognize. Josepha had left the room, but there was a bowl of steaming food on the corner of the table, some sort of green seeds, broiled, which Simmy shared with Faye. The rat sniffed at them, tentative, and after he reassured himself they were acceptable food, he devoured them ravenously. The seeds were large and weird-shaped, and a little mushy, Simmy noticed. She finished the bowl and went outside to clean it. The field was plowed, and there was no thistle in sight. Instead, the land was divided in neat little patches, all planted with different crops, spanning the gamut from grains to trees. Somewhere in the middle there was a plot of legumes, which Simmy recognized as her breakfast, and some of the patches lay bare, a wasteful and strange occurrence in their world. "There she is, finally." Bertha announced her presence from afar, and all the eyes turned to her, filled with reproach. "Don't we all wish we could sit all day long carving chairs and bowls, instead of breaking our backs behind that wooden plow day in and day out?" "Especially now, with this drought upon us," Josepha replied, looking at the sky, anxiously, for signs of clouds. There weren't any, just the unrelenting blaze of the sun projecting from clear blue. "I don't know what we're gonna do if it doesn't rain soon." She turned her eyes to Simmy, who was still trying to get her bearings in the unfamiliar surroundings, and whose confused expression suddenly irritated her. "You go right ahead and not care, girl. Don't even give the rest of us a single thought, you selfish brat. See if you can eat them bowls if our food runs out." Simmy's first reaction was to get upset, because she'd just about had it with Josepha's blabber, but since the tension in the community was so intense she could feel it in her gut, she turned all of her attention to figuring out how long had they been in a drought. First of all, that explained the empty parcels in the field, There weren't too many of them in relationship to the rest, so she guessed the drought hadn't been there for too long. What can we do? Bertha looked at the sky, helpless, then sighed, wretched, and got up to head for the fields. Make sure you finish those bowls. How long are you going to take with those? I break my bones in the field all day. The least I can expect is to have a bowl to eat from when I return in the evening. Useless goose. What is a goose? Simmy asked herself, and before her attention shifted again, she saw them in her mind's eye, wobbling about aimlessly, in a hopeless pursuit of grass and bugs. Oh. So, she was professing a craft. It felt so strange to her that the community would just allow her to remain in the village, just to make them chairs and bowls, while they went out into the fields, that at first she didn't believe her luck. She grabbed a piece of wood and started carving, with hands so sure she knew this couldn't be the first time she was doing this. The bowl started taking shape slowly, as if the thoughts she was churning in her head at the same time were in fact molding the wood in her hands. She couldn't remember if she ever told anybody about the rope, but it didn't seem reasonable, since a quick glance had informed her there were no cultures that could produce the fibers for it. She worked, with automatic gestures, deep in thought, while Faye squirmed inside her pocket now and then. Around noon she got thirsty, and she walked around the village in search of a water bucket, but she couldn't find one anywhere. Where are they keeping it? She asked herself, getting more and more parched by the minute. After half an hour, she abandoned her search and retreated in the shade of the rough shed to finish up her bowls. The long row of people returned from the field in the evening, dusty and tired, and looking a lot more worn than they did when they left in the morning. They formed a queue and waited patiently while Josepha dug up a jug from the entrails of her house and distributed equal rations to all the people in the queue. When she was done tending to those working in the field, she turned to Simmy, annoyed by what she perceived as ill-willed defiance, and asked in a raised voice. Don't you want water, girl? Do I have to fetch that to you, too? Simmy got up and received her water ration, no more than half of a bowl, and she drank it eagerly, to soothe her parched throat. That's right. Chug that down like it's nothing. Don't even dream you'll get more until tomorrow. Her voice softened as she watched the sky with worried eyes. There'll be even less of it if the heavens don't show us mercy anytime soon. She then remembered she'd left the airhead with a task to do when she left in the morning, and yelled. Where is my bowl? She grabbed it from Simmy's hands and went inside her house, morose. This isn't good, Simmy thought. Why don't they try to get outside the wall? There seemed to be water there, judging by the moist fruit Faye had brought her. It wouldn't be hard at all, she thought, now that they had wood, and, apparently, a carpenter, to build something that would allow them to go over the wall and back. She wondered what would happen if she brought this up with Josepha, and planned to talk to her the next morning, when hopefully the latter would be in a better mood. Get past the wall. Josepha screamed, outraged. It's not enough that we have to carry your load for you. Now you're trying to get us killed too. Don't you know why we built the wall in the first place? Don't you know what lurks behind it? What deadly, evil, bloodthirsty creatures. We coddled you too much, and this is our punishment. Like it's not bad enough we have to put up with that rat you call a pet, like any God-fearing person would ever consider something like that, now you have time on your hands to think us all to our deaths, you lazy ingrate. I curse the moment I first laid eyes on you. Here we go again, Simmy thought, not too upset by the elder's outburst, which, she knew from her own experience, was coming, at least in part, from the suffering of a parched throat. Oh, well, at least I can say that I tried, she continued her mental ruminations, and planned to figure this out on her own as soon as possible. I'm not dying of thirst just to prove her right. I know there is water behind that wall. The task was facing two immediate hurdles. She had to find the time to build and hide the contraption, and she needed to sneak out in the field, to a place where she could climb the wall unnoticed. She was very excited about the project, and she planned the contraption in her mind, to the last detail, while she tended diligently to the bowls and chairs she was supposed to work on that day. The thought of being able to see that fairy land beyond, which she knew was lush and fertile, filled her heart with joy and excitement, and she didn't even notice when she finished her allotted work for the day, when suddenly, terrible pangs of guilt brought her back to reality. "Who is giving you water, my little friend?" She looked at the rat, which, in all fairness, didn't seem to be suffering at all. "Where does he find water to drink?" she asked herself, when Fay climbed out of her pocket and disappeared into a hole in the ground, which was very close to the wall. He re-emerged half an hour later with a red berry in his mouth. He placed the little offering in Simmy's lap and stared at her until she ate it. "Or maybe I can dig," she smiled at the sudden revelation, as she watched the long file of tired villagers return from the field.